This episode is brought to you by Amazon Prime. From streaming to shopping, Prime helps you get more out of your passions. So whether you're a fan of true crime or prefer a nail-biting novel from time to time, with services like Prime Video, Amazon Music, and fast free delivery, Prime makes it easy to get more out of whatever you're into or getting into. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to learn more.
I'm joined by Britton Peel, who's here to talk with me about his review of Styx, Master of Shadows. I'm Justin McElroy, and this is Polygon's Quality Control. Britton Peel, thank you so much for joining me here on the show on Quality Control.
Thank you so much for having me. It's an honor.
You reviewed Styx for GameSpot. That's correct?
Yes, I did.
I was reading over your review, and I just want to ask you a couple of questions. As we are wont to do here on Quality Control, we didn't review this one on Polygon, so I thought, hey, let's reach out. Let's reach outside the family.
Oh, I'm glad you did.
I'm happy to do. So here's my first question that I completely kind of took me by surprise. Apparently there's a tie between this game and another focus game called Orcs and Men. Can you explain the connection, or is this something people need to be aware of going into this game?
I don't think people need to be aware of it. I actually haven't. I'm aware of Orcs and Men, but I haven't played it. So I understood the plot and everything just fine. It kind of serves as a prequel of sorts. I read up on some of the plot and stuff just to make sure I wasn't missing anything, but, there's hardly any connection there. So it's, if you're a big fan of Orcs and Men, then, you might get a little something extra, but it's not required.
Styx is a goblin, right? He's a little goblin fella.
Yeah, he's actually the first goblin, kind of interesting. But that's about as interesting as he gets in some ways.
I played a little bit of this game, and the thing that kind of struck me as I was playing is once you get sort of past the initial area, this is a stealth game, and once you get past the initial area, we're just kind of sneaking through, it opens up into some like really big environments, like bigger than I think a lot of people would be used to in a stealth game or like... For this type, did you find that daunting initially, or did you like sort of the variety or the variety of options that provided you?
Initially, I found it really exciting because I really like stealth games that give you a lot of options about where to go and what you're going to do, and if it seems like you actually have a big open world in front of you rather than just linear hallways, I find that really exciting. But unfortunately, some of those big spaces get cramped down pretty quickly. You find yourself in more cramped spaces. So there are a few places that are nice and big and open, and those are great. But it's not quite as open as I wanted it to be in the end. It was something that initially when I got past that initial area, and it kind of opens up on this big, like, city-looking environment, and there's castles, and you're kind of high above everything, and it almost tricks you into making it look like you can go wherever you want to go. And in fact, elements of the story kind of make it feel like an open-world game, like almost like a... there's almost something Castlevania-esque about going back to places, but the way the mission structure works, I think doesn't take advantage of the world as much as it could have.
One of the things that drives me crazy about stealth games is when I'm constantly sort of being made to feel like a failure as I'm playing, like I'm not playing it as well or as cool as I could. I think Dishonored handled this really well in that you can take a stealth approach, but once you, if that falls apart, you aren't made to you still feel lethal, you still feel like you're playing the game correctly.
Yeah, absolutely.
How does Styx handle being caught, and did you have that feeling a lot of times, like you were, you had been set up for failure?
Yeah, that was actually one of my biggest disappointments with Styx, because I was a huge fan of Dishonored. I loved just about everything about that game. And Styx kind of acts like it wants to imitate that. It gives you a lot of different abilities you can unlock, kind of the same way Dishonored did. And you have kind of supernatural powers that you can take advantage of. But yeah, the second you get caught in Styx, you are basically screwed. Like, you are not a lethal force by any stretch of the imagination. And
how is it handled? Like, if I get caught, what does that feel like? What's the interaction there?
So as soon as you're seen, unless you're playing on the hardest difficulty level, in which case getting caught is just the end. You can't, you know, go any way other than stealthy. But on every other difficulty level, the second you are caught, you are, if you're close enough to an enemy, you are basically locked into a one-on-one combat scenario. It's a little bit behind the back, almost like a punch-out kind of thing. And the dueling system, it's like someone looked at Assassin's Creed or the Batman games and said, well, that doesn't look too hard. We could probably pull that off. And
then just
totally fell flat. Because it's a parry system. So as the enemy swings, you want to hit your own swing button at the proper time so you can block their attack. And then if you do that enough times, you can kill your opponent. But the problem is you really cannot move much at all when you're locked into this combat stance. And so when it's just a one-on-one battle, it doesn't feel great, but you can still, if you get the timing right, you can escape with your life and win the duel and things are okay. If there are two or more enemies around you, you are, first of all, locked into that position with just one guy and you can't escape. And then everyone else around you is immediately swinging their swords, shooting their crossbows or whatever, and you are down within seconds. You can't easily run. You can't really fight. It's just you're done. You're screwed.
Do you think it would be obviously it's hard to second guess design. It's so much easier to a reviewer to say this worked or didn't work. You know, we're not game designers. I don't know. You know.
Yeah. Thank God.
How to fix some? Yeah. Right. That would be really hard. This is easy. But do you think it could have been improved by just like removing that entirely, just saying like this isn't an option? You get caught and that's it. You're done.
You know, I definitely had that thought, because definitely a few hours into the game, and it's a 20-hour game, I kind of made the decision of I do not want to get caught, because this combat mechanic is atrocious, and if I get caught, I'd rather just load my last save rather than even try to deal with it. So on some hand, yeah, maybe if they would just at least, you know, let you try to run instead of locking you into combat and kind of forcing you to fight, maybe that would have been a better option.
So a lot of times when I am assigned a game's review, there's this, we've talked about it on the show, this moment where I kind of realize what I'm in for. And sometimes when I'm playing a game that I don't end up enjoying and that is not a game that I like, I have this like moment where I realize like, oh God, I have to play an entire game of this.
Yep.
Did you have that with Styx? How long did it take you to sort of crystallize what you know, your position on it?
I had that moment where I looked over on my shelf and I saw Shadow of Mordor, and I saw all these other great games coming out right now. I thought, oh man, I have to play this instead of those. That definitely happened. It didn't happen right away, because I definitely, you know, it was awkward at first, but then I think about the second mission or so, you start unlocking abilities and you can make better use of like your invisibility skill and different things like that. And I thought, okay, you know, maybe with these new skills, things are going to open up. I can do some cooler stealth and whatnot. And as I get a little more powerful and get a better grasp of these controls and stuff, you know, maybe it'll just keep getting better. And for a little bit, it kind of did. I was like, okay, this isn't, you know, as bad as I thought it was going to be. and or I, initially I thought it was going to be great, and then I was disappointed, and then I thought it might be great again. But
it's a real roller coaster of emotion here
from you. But yeah, so I definitely, especially because it's a very long game, and it's a game that is artificially long in some ways because you actually revisit the exact same maps multiple times. So definitely at the halfway mark when it kind of turned around and said, all right, now you've been through all the maps in the game, now go do them again. That's, I think, particularly when I was like, oh, well, when will this just end? Like, I don't want to finish the rest of this.
Stealth is really kind of an interesting genre because it seems to evolve more and faster than like even the shooter does. I think it is a genre where people are still kind of chipping away at it, figuring out like the most satisfying way of making a stealth game and what the standards of that are. Did Styx kind of feel just outdated in that sense? Did it feel just sort of rooted in the past?
Absolutely. It felt old school, but not in a totally charming way. You know, you can look back on some really great stealth games for their time, like the original Thief, or, you know, even go into games like Metal Gear Solid and whatnot. And even though they're dated now, they're still, you know, great. They're still classics. And in some ways, Styx feels like a game from that era. It kind of felt like an original Xbox game or something in some of the ways that it moved and some of the things that it did. And, yeah, like I said, it wasn't a charming kind of nostalgia-filled experience. It was just kind of like, guys, you know, there have been years and years of stealth games now. Like, Dishonored and Mark of the Ninja both came out 2 years ago. Why didn't you learn a few things from them? So,
Styx feels the lead of the game is one of those that trope of like having the one character that's sort of like streetwise and quote unquote has an edge to them and in a world full of far more serious and stodgy people. Did his character connect with you? What did you make of the lead?
I had mixed feelings about him because there are some cool cutscenes, especially in the first half of the game, where Styx is actually being interrogated, and so you're kind of seeing how he's interacting with this with guards and the people who have captured him and stuff, and there's some banter back and forth that makes you kind of think like, yeah, this is a cool thief, you know, he's definitely got the better of these guys, and at the end you're gonna see he's really got, you know, tricked everybody, and it's going to be awesome. And so there were a few moments like that, but then there are some moments where like he's cursing when I, you know, not that I'm necessarily morally opposed to cursing, but he's just like dropping F-bombs just kind of to sound edgy. Mm-hmm. And that just kind of turned me off a little bit. And yeah, kind of like the rest of the game, Styx himself just gave me real mixed feelings for a lot of it. I didn't hate him by any means, but definitely not one of my favorite heroes of video games this year.
Does it have any idea? We talked about the evolution of stealth and how it's constantly sort of learning new tricks. Is there anything in Styx that you hope future stealth games co-op, ideas that you'd like to see used again?
I don't know about that, but one thing I will give Styx a lot of credit for is that through the entire game, they are constantly introducing new enemy types. And that's one thing that a lot of stealth games don't necessarily do. You know, they kind of, they'll introduce new environments, new abilities and stuff, but the enemies stay pretty static. You know, it's just, oh, there's humans with guns or whatever, and you're going to find your way around them in kind of the same ways. Whereas Styx actually did have some variation in what kind of challenges you'll come across due to the enemies. So there are some enemies, for example, that are actually bugs that they can't see. So you don't need to worry about walking in front of them when the room is fully lit because they can't see you anyway, but they do have really, really good hearing. So mm-hmm. it does change how you approach rooms with them in them, because you need to worry more about what sounds you're making than whether or not you're visible. And there are things like that that it does throughout the game that I did find refreshing, and it helped make it not be quite as monotonous through the 20-hour journey that was Styx. So that is something that, you know, maybe more stealth games should look at and take advantage of, I think.
Britton Peel, thank you so much for joining me here on the show. I understand it's your birthday today. Happy birthday.
Thank you so much.
And if you want to read Britton's review, you can find it on GameSpot and just read the whole thing. All the words he wrote. He wrote them for you.
Yeah, I spent a lot of time, and I played a really mediocre game, so please.
For you. So appreciate him. Thank you all to you listening at home. I appreciate it. If you want to subscribe to the show, you can do so on iTunes or your podcast player of choice. If the show isn't showing up where you listen to podcasts, let me know, and I can try to address that. If you want to email us, it's qualitycontrol@polygon.com. And your ratings and reviews on iTunes would also be really appreciated. Britton, what's your Twitter in case people want to follow your stuff?
It's just at Britton Peel, so BRITTONPEELE. And all right. Yeah, I'm tweeting way more often than I should, so find me there.
Get over there. Don't miss that scene. I'm Justin McElroy for Britton Peel. Thank you for listening to Polygon's Quality Control.